The good news of the gospel is that the king has arrived. The demand of the gospel is repentance. And somehow, this is what we have to share, what we have to communicate to the world when we're talking about doing evangelism. It's a lot more than going to heaven when you die. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's on earth, not in heaven. And it impacts our entire life, here and now. At the center of the message, the thing that every part of the gospel message hangs upon, is the death and resurrection of Yeshua of Nazareth, Christ crucified, his atoning death in place of his people, his resurrection as an assurance of the promise, and his triumph. But outside of the broader context of the kingdom message, the death and resurrection of Yeshua seem to lose their specific meaning for the kingdom, and they just become broad abstractions. So, you may be wondering, how shall we communicate this fuller, more robust, more biblical message of the gospel to a postmodern and biblically illiterate world? It's not as easy as selling eternal life, is it? It requires biblical literacy and an understanding of God's covenant, his revelation through Torah, and his relationship with his people. In other words, conveying the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, requires biblical literacy on our part and on the parts of those that we seek to reach. And it is a transforming message that turns lives upside down and completely reorients priorities. The first are last, the last are first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, the Master tells us. Seek first the kingdom. The gospel is a seeking after the things of the kingdom of heaven, and this radical call to repentance. It's not as easy to communicate as a four-point tract or the sinner's prayer, and it's not as easy to sell as the ticket to heaven when you die. It's not a one-time moment, but a life of faith, an ongoing life of living and learning in the kingdom, and it stands firmly on the Torah of Moses and firmly on the oracles of the prophets of Israel. Again, let me mention my friend Emily Dwyer, the Messianic Jewish missionary to Uganda. She used to bring Hayasod classes out to remote areas of Uganda and teach the Hayasod materials to Ugandans, many of them without really even a shred of biblical literacy. So she would start with the story of Abraham and explain the concept of Abraham, which is a concept that Ugandans, who are still operating in a patriarchal, tribal, and sometimes even nomadic world, could grasp and lay hold of. And then, starting there with Abraham, she would build, slowly. That's a lot of work. And it is a lot of work, and maybe that's why most of the growth in Messianic congregations and communities seems to come from the church rather than from people who are actually in need of the gospel. It's just easier. But if we are to be effective in reaching out to neighbors and speeding along the kingdom of heaven on earth, that day when every man will know the Lord, and no one will need to tell his neighbor, "Know ye the Lord," if we are to be useful in contributing to that goal, seeking first the kingdom, as the Master says, then we need to get outside of our church circles and start bringing the Bible, the Torah message, the whole gospel to the world. I don't have any suggestions for how to do that, but it's time to start thinking creatively about creative ways to do Bible study for the unchurched. We need to start Bible campaigns. We need to get ahead of the Gideons. We need to get the Word of God disseminated and into people's hands again and get people excited about learning the Bible. If we can get people excited about the Bible, studying the Bible, learning the Bible, that's more than half the battle. Get people to take on the Bible and then let the Holy Spirit work, speaking to them through the Word. I think the Messianic Jewish movement is uniquely positioned to be able to do this because, as I mentioned in the previous lecture, we are Bible people. More than any other form of Christianity, we should be the Bible people. We need to eat, sleep, and breathe the text. We derive our shape and our identity from it, and we have the tools to be able to unlock its message without the impediments of replacement theology, supersessionism, anti-Judaism, anti-rabbinics, anti-Semitism, and so forth, those things that have crippled the Christian propagation of the Bible. It's our unique corner on the market. I don't know what the best way to do this is, but this is what evangelism from a Messianic Jewish perspective looks like, going all the way back to the Hebrew Christian days. If you read David Barron's old 19th century mission journals, Scattered Nation, this is how they did evangelism. They had a Bible reading room right on the streets of London. It worked in those days because no one had television or internet, or really many places to go or things to do or any money. This was for the extremely poor, impoverished Jewish immigrants who were coming to England from Russia. And this model, of course, it wouldn't work today, but it worked then. Every day in the Bible reading rooms, they conducted Bible studies, just teaching every evening, teaching their way through the Bible, day after day after day. Paul Levertov, in his early days, was part of this effort. And through this Bible education process, the Holy Spirit was able to work. People came, they listened, and many Jewish people were won for the Messiah. I don't know what the modern equivalent of that might look like, but we need to put the Torah back into our proclamation of the gospel. We need to learn to proclaim the gospel from within the teaching of the Torah and the prophets. The two were never meant to be disconnected. It's all one unified message, the divine transforming message, the Word of God, the revelation of God, His written Word, the Torah and the Bible, and His living Word, His Son, Yeshua.
The light it shines is the Torah, the lamp is the mitzvah. The light it shines is the Torah, the lamp is the mitzvah. The light it shines is the Torah.